Okay, a very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 19th November 2020. It's a Thursday. So we'll continue with our sharing on the Sutra of Innumerable Meaning. We are at page 24, the section on finale. So as usual, before we start the class, we will have our half an hour of silent awareness meditation. We will off the light, then you all can have your half an hour of silent awareness meditation. So remember to just relax body and mind completely at ease. Maintain awareness to stabilize that nature within. The awareness nature within the true mind. When you are able to do that, you can meditate. Well, only the awareness meditation is capable of the real awareness-based meditation. Thought cannot meditate. Always remember that. So relax, maintain awareness, and stay there for as long as you can. Technically, it's 24 hours. But initially, you can maintain awareness within your waking moment is already very good. But in the formal meditation, you are not active. That's why you can actually stabilize the awareness. You don't need to interact with people, with society, with the world. You don't have to do anything. That's why the formal meditation is a good condition for stabilizing the awareness nature. Whereas when you come out into your daily life, you're supposed to develop the daily mindfulness. That one is more difficult to do. That one you can only do when your mind has entered sati. Or when your awareness is very stable, you have developed the stability of it in your meditation, formal meditation. For some, they use skillful means to do it. They can use the bowing to stabilize the awareness, the sati. Or some use walking. Some use chanting. So as you do this, you also develop the faith, the spiritual faculty for your mind to settle down so that the mental hindrance are not disturbing you. Then only you can stabilize your mind, your awareness nature within. So this is how you meditate. So you need a skillful means, like anapanasati or chanting or whatever. It's up to you. Even our mind sweeping method combined with metta, you can use it. Otherwise, you just go direct into the meditation. Just relax completely, body and mind at ease. Then silence everything, maintain awareness. Let the awareness nature arise, stabilize. Then from there, you meditate. From there, you observe. From there, you develop understanding. So now we will continue. Finale. This is the summary part. All life in the end passes away. So this one, we already have the understanding because we have gone through all the Dhamma. We come together for a time and then we part. So whatever that arises, like the Buddha said, there are causes and conditions. Because we are staying in a conditioned world. And this conditioned world is the existential world where life exists. Because of condition, there is phenomena. And because of phenomena, there is existence. That's what life is all about. So when we look at life, we need to look at existence. To exist is to go through life. That's why there is such thing as existence. And for us to understand existence, we need to understand time. Where time is the basis of existence, T-I-M-E. So as I explained before, I think I better go through this again for the benefits of those who are new. Existence can be equated to life. So to live life is to go through existence. So existence is time related. So the whole spectrum of time, we can actually define them into the three periods, past, present, and future. So when we subdivide time into past, present, and future, then existence becomes easier to comprehend, easier for us to understand. So if we look at this tree, we have to ask the question, which is the reality? The past, as we all know, is already gone, no more a reality, because it is the past. Then future is something yet to come, also not a reality. So the only reality is actually the present moment. Then when you zero in, you come to a very clear understanding. Moment to moment, time passes by. That is what existence is. So what are we doing? If you can understand this, you can understand life. You can penetrate existence and understand clearly what life is. So the only reality is just the present moment. Then moment to moment, life passes by. What are we doing? And how stable is the present moment? The moment we talk about it is gone. Split second is gone. Split second is gone. And that is the only reality in life, the present moment. In fact, it's also the highest in life. So in meditation, if we cannot meditate until our mind realizes the silence within or our true nature, true mind, where there is no thinking, nothing, then we are within the moment, aware, present. That awareness, that present moment awareness is very important. You can be aware of the moment, then you can understand life. You can observe the movement of life. That is what meditation is all about. That's why Jai Krishnamurti is very wise. He defined meditation as just a choiceless awareness of what is the reality within the moment. When you can be in that state of awareness, means when you can stay with the awareness nature to be aware of what is going on within that moment. Of course, continuous moment, which means you are mindful, you are aware, you are fully aware, not only conscious of life, but you are aware within. That's how you can live life. That's why you can develop the understanding of life. So meditation is very important in the sense that it leads you to the true mind, the silent mind, that can realize the present moment, that can be within the moment. for you to experience life, to live life to the fullest, to observe life, to insight into phenomena, to awaken, to develop the understanding that arises within our form and mind. So this whole understanding is what meditation is all about. It's to let us understand life. That's why the finale, the final summary, yeah? We will go back to the sharing, yeah? Then you can understand. It's to talk about life. All life in the end passes away, because like the present moment, split second is the end gone. It arises, it passes away. Then the next one also arises and passes away. So that is the only reality. So how real can life be when the only reality, which is the present moment, is so unstable? See, understand it, awaken to it. Then is there any reality in life? Definitely none. That's why it's called empty nature existence. Only mighty nature rolling by. Dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomenon. There is a conditional world, phenomenal world, existential world. So all life in the end passes away. We come together for a time because of what? Causes and conditions. And then we part and conditions cease to be. That is the reality of the phenomenal world. That's how you should understand the Dhamma. Then you penetrate. Then the author go on to describe. The ancient pine tree gradually ages. We can also reflect on our physical body. Thus it does not fear wind and rain, because it gradually endures whatever condition that arises, whether it's harsh or normal. When it's harsh, if they cannot endure anymore, they break down. That's why they go through the decay process, the four phase cycle of birth, sustenance, decay, and cessation. Life is endowed with unlimited goodness. When you have the wisdom, they didn't qualify it. Otherwise, life can be full of misery and suffering. So life is endowed with unlimited goodness and wholesomeness only when you have the wisdom and the understanding to live life, when you can be heedful. Then, of course, the final line, within the one Dhamma, infinite miracles are developing. This is very true. Then it is perseverance that creates miracle. Very true. That's the reason why I say for you to progress along the path of Dhamma, you need three things. Remember? Faith, sincerity, and the last one is perseverance. So if you persevere, miracles can happen because you have patience. Patient endurance, not suppression. You endure patiently with understanding. So when you have perseverance, it can create miracle. It is faith that gives rise to that courage to persevere. That's why you must have faith. Then if you are sincere, you can persevere. That's why these three virtues can take you along, and they can awaken you. You only need these three to be successful in walking the path of Dhamma, in cultivation, in developing the training. We must sustain this moment forever. See, they also know, and hold on to the meaning of great love. So when you can have love, you are incapable of evil. Love, true love, universal love is incapable of evil, no opposite. It does not have the duality of hatred, envy, and jealousy. Love is just love. Pure, universal love. That love can sustain life, can sustain all things. They call it the great love. In Mandarin, it's called Da Ai, great love. Then with joy and equanimity, we nourish all sentient beings. So this one is sympathetic joy. And the enlightenment faculty or enlightenment factor of equanimity, upeka. With mudita and upeka, we nourish all sentient beings and pass the light of wisdom from lamp to lamp. It's like giving light to somebody. So like you light the candle, and you continue to pass on the light so that others can receive it. Everyone has the candle, but to receive that light is not easy. You must have the affinity, you must have faith, you must have sincerity and perseverance. Then, when the light comes, you can receive them and you can really move on. Then when you have the light, you become the light itself. Light overcomes darkness, which is ignorant. So light is symbolic, but light is a very good symbol where it overcomes darkness, ignorance. It gives rise to wisdom, understanding, clarity. That's how you develop the wisdom, the Dhamma understanding. Then when you have them, you can pass on that light to limitless living beings, to countless sentient beings. That's why from one comes infinity. So all these are possible when we have the understanding. So the light of wisdom can be passed on in this way. Then when you really develop the understanding and become a great being or a Samasambuddha, then you can really share this wisdom light with all sentient beings. Loving kindness and compassion are the everlasting secrets to the universe. This is very true. When you have loving kindness, when you have compassion, I'm referring to the authentic real one, not the one that the thought create one. The thought-based love and compassion is not real compassion. The real love and compassion born of wisdom, clear understanding, that one really are the everlasting secret to the universe. Well, from there, you can perfect yourself and become the Samasambuddha, the all-knowing one. And then you can understand the whole creation. That's why they have this quality of omniscience. Teacher of man and God. So this nine great virtue of a Samasambuddha, they are very, very unique. So from love and compassion, loving kindness and compassion, you can perfect the 10 perfection to become Samasambuddha. That's why it's an everlasting secret to the universe. So without wisdom, there is no genuine loving kindness and compassion. And similarly, without wisdom, you cannot have virtuous thought. So virtuous thought will lead to a different outcome Direct heedless thinking will bring about downfall, evil consequences. So virtuous thought need wisdom. With great loving kindness, great compassion, and the infinite meaning, we are as tranquil and clear as crystal. This is beautiful. Which means when you have comprehended the Dhamma, especially this sutra, the sutra of infinite meaning, you will have great loving kindness and compassion. That's why when you have this together with the understanding of this teaching, you are as tranquil and clear as a crystal. This is a good way to describe that mind state. Very beautiful. We remain unwavering and give rise to sincere intention. Now, this is automatic. When you have the Dhamma, you have the understanding, you no longer like normal people, very kanchong, panic, and worry. First thing that happened to people is to panic first and worry, or si liao, say liao. But when you have the Dhamma, you remain unwavering. No matter what happened, that is the reality. That is the reality. What is within that moment. And you can only give rise to sincere intention. You can never act deceivingly, cunningly, with ill intent, because it's not worthwhile. Like I always say, you must cultivate until you reach the point where nature shows you in clear manner and term, there is never worthwhile to violate the nature's law, the precepts, the moral rules. Because the moment you do that, you create evil. It set the condition for evil things to happen. The evil outcome will be your karmic inheritance. That's why the Buddha, in his advice to all humanity and living beings, the first advice is sabba papasa akaranam. Sabba is all, papasa is evil. All evil has to be avoided. This is serious. Where he, through his perfection, cultivation, and understanding, knows the danger of evil. That's why he said, all evil, if you can, you better avoid. So cultivator who has realized, awakened, they are incapable of evil. That's why their intention are very sincere. And they have the understanding. That's why they remain unwavering. Then after that, the sutta say, we must spread this teaching throughout the world. You will naturally do, but you will not be too eager to share this teaching or spread this teaching. You will know the timing. There must be causes and conditions for things to arise. Yeah. So you will do it, but with the understanding of the appropriate causes and conditions must be there. Otherwise, nothing can happen. Then virtuous thought will lead to a different outcome we are going through. With great loving kindness, great compassion, if you mean, we are as tranquil and clear as a crystal. Oh, they repeat all this. We remain unwavering and give rise to sincere intention. We must spread this teaching throughout the world. Virtuous thought will lead to a different outcome. With great loving kindness, great compassion, and infinite meaning, we are as tranquil and clear as crystal. We remain unwavering and give rise to sincere intention. We must spread this teaching throughout the world. So these are all repeated. Okay, very good. At least we finished the summary. Now we will come to the origin. So the origin of this sutta, page 29. One day, while walking along the bank of the Ganges River, the Buddha bent down and scooped up some sand with his fingernail. He asked Ananda, who was by his side, "How would you compare the grain of sand in my fingernail to the sand of the Ganges River?" Ananda replied, "The Ganges River is vast and contains countless grains of sand. The number of grains of sand in your hand cannot compare." The Buddha then said, "The amount of karma created by living beings is like the sand of the Ganges River." So serious, don't play a fool. "While the Dhamma that I have taught is no more than the few grains of sand in my fingernail. It's just like the handful of leaf that the Buddha picked up at the Simsapa grove." So here, the Buddha is trying to give you the analogy regarding karma. So you must take note. You must not continue to be heedless. If you understand this, you will wake up. Otherwise, you will never wake up. "The karma of living beings have been accumulating since beginningless time. The suffering we face in this era is a result of the collective karma created by all living beings." This is very true. That's why one is all is one. We are never apart from the totality. "We currently reside in what the Buddhist Sutta refer to as the kapas of turbidity." You know what is turbidity? Not clear. The kapas of turbidity is very long. It's one, at least one kapa. One kapa is one whole cycle. "A time when all kinds of disasters takes place. Looking at the first decade of the 21st century, starting from 2001, major catastrophe had occurred every year. The El Salvador earthquake, 911 attack, the war in Afghanistan, flood in Indonesia, and the Iraq war, the SARS epidemic." SARS is only an epidemic, not a pandemic. The Iran earthquake, the Southeast Asia tsunami, this is very severe. Then Hurricane Katrina, also very severe. Then the Kashmir earthquake, the Java earthquake, flooding in Bolivia, the South California wildfire, the Myanmar cyclone, the Great Sichuan earthquake, etc. In fact, there are also many problems in Australia, the other end. This natural and man-made disaster all resulted in heavy casualties. Modern science has shown that all these disasters are related to human activity. You don't know how to link it to the law of karma, the global consciousness or the collective consciousness of our planet. You can never understand what she said. So all these disasters are related to our human activity. We are most of the human beings' consciousness are the one that actually caused the planet to be what it is today. But the other beings, they don't have such power. Then the human population is very, very big. Now it's 7+ billion. Then with the amount of negative consciousness or thought process that they arise to pollute the world, to create the negativity of coming consequence, actually can be very harmful, very detrimental to our planet. the way they destroy nature, the way they pollute the environment, the way they use science indiscriminately, to do a lot of funny things. Of course, there are some sincere scientists too who try to maybe come up with invention, or AI technology and understanding for the betterment of mankind. But the problem with most of these people is their research, everything is funded by big organization, wealthy, powerful organization, maybe big giant multinational companies. These people are motivated by profit, shareholders fund, benefits. And because of that, you realize a lot of things they do are not really ethical. Like food production. Even all the product or produce that they manufacture or develop, they want it to grow very fast, the cycle time, like chicken. They put in antibiotic growth hormone so that they don't have to wait so long, so that the cycle time is shorter, but then the outcome is severe effect on the human physical DNA. Then all the food that they modify, genetically modified GMO. Then they also do a lot of research. Then nowadays, they even talk about this vaccine. They come up with a new technique and new research. And this type of vaccine, it seems, not tried before, not proven. They still don't know how it's going to gain effect on the human DNA and all this thing. So we are like guinea pig. But of course, they go through their the tests. They got the 3-level of vaccine tests and all this thing. Then they need time to confirm all this. But like those scientists that understand, or the doctors that understand, they always have reservation. And many of the things we observe, what our planet is going through, you really need spiritual people who are sincere, who have the understanding to actually make a difference to our planet and our world. But because of the existence of these powerful politicians and multinational big organization, they really take control. And it's not much the scientists and the individual can do. Yeah, you need their research grant. You need their support. Then, of course, a lot of scientists also want to be famous, to become wealthy, to have the breakthrough, to receive Nobel Prize and all those things. But this is a cycle. We have to evolve. We have to go through. That's why even slang or the problem. You can see it's a very good example. Seldom do we hear polluting our water resources along the river, where we're supposed to collect the raw water for treatment, purification, to be delivered for human consumption. Because I am a civil engineer, I know I was with Waterworks, Pekalana Air Selangor. I work there, I do design, and I study their Water Enactment Act, or the other DIDs Act. So all river, they are under the jurisdiction of DID actually. Then the DOE, Department of Environmental, they also very powerful. Then we actually gazette all this water catchment area that catches the rainwater and becomes they actually gather in the catchment and they will flow down to the river, and the river with the tributaries will join together to form the main river. So our main river is actually Sungai Selangor. Of course, there are other rivers leading finally to the Klang River, reaching the ocean. So this Sungai Selangor is a very big source of raw water. So with this catchment, gazetted catchment, they are not supposed to have industry. They are not supposed to have any pollution nearby, even residential house or whatever. They're supposed to have their own treatment plant system and all those things. Then all of the water that they drain into the river is supposed to be protected against pollution. Then why is all this thing happening? Because of abuses, corruption, lack of, they call implementation. We have the law, but we don't have people to really enforce the implementation. Then sometimes because of corruption and all those things, self-interest. So all this leads to our present problem. So such a small state like Selangor, we have this problem. When we come to the national level, the world, we will have bigger problem, definitely. Because there are so many things that is beyond us. So it depends on the individual. For the world to change, the individual must change. Living beings must have more understanding of the spiritual understanding, the nature's law that governs life and existence. If you destroy nature, nature will destroy you. They destroy nature out of greed, out of selfish intent. And they don't have that understanding to look at things and life motivated by greed, by self-interest. So all these are the causes and conditions behind. That's why when we have this understanding, we will know how to do our part, our duty. If each and every one do your duty, that's what Jai Krishnamurti mean. The individual must change. When the individual change, the summation of the individual is the totality. The totality will change. That is the only hope. That's why I say we need initially the critical mass. You need about 1% of humanity to have this understanding. Then they can influence the rest. They can bring about change. But at the moment it's not easy. Now at the moment it's 0.000, don't know how many zero, 1%. Not enough. So this is the understanding. So when we have the understanding, we play our part as an individual, as a Dharma practitioner, as a spiritual practitioner. Okay, we go back to the notes. So all this disaster, they are man-made. The human consciousness is the one that actually give rise to a lot of this thing. Then modern science has shown that all these disasters are related to human activity. This is very true. For example, air pollution and damage to the land have led to the greenhouse effect, abnormal weather condition, the drying up of water resources, and the melting of the polar ice. The environment is gradually being destroyed. And it is all due to human action. So nowadays, I think the world leaders, they also have this, what they call awareness. They start to develop this, what they call awareness of the danger of not protecting the environment. So global warming is one of the most discussed type of topic. They even have international seminar conference with the United Nations playing their role. And yet, we are having so much problem because sometimes certain countries refuse to participate, refuse to pay. Like what happened earlier on in the United States, the World Health Organization, they are the largest contributor, and their president can just make a decision to withdraw the contribution. And many other things, like global warming. The rich nation, the wealthy nation, they should actually donate and pay back in kind. That's why they come out with this carbon blueprint. So when you have this carbon blueprint, you can actually save the world. So those who pollute, they pay for it. Those who actually help to improve, they should be rewarded, or they should receive aids, grants, and all those things, so that there is incentive for people to do things the correct way. That's why we talk about green energy nowadays. We try to reduce the one that is polluting the world, like petrol, or we call it petroleum product. They emit a lot of carbon. Then there is also the other type of power generation. Of course, hydro is very good, but the effect of a hydro power station, building dams and other things, big plot of land, very massive catchment area will have to be impacted. We call it EIA, Environmental Impact Analysis or Study. But very difficult to assess the impact because when they dam up the whole dam, a lot of life form are disrupted. A lot of the ecology are disrupted. Again, as a civil engineer, I get to witness all this. The Kenya Dam, our lecturer was very good. The German lecturer, Professor Hassel, I remember. I like his teaching, his subject. He always talked about Wayan Dam in his country, how it collapse and cause so much disaster and death. Then when they were about to build the Kenya Dam, where he was involved in the project, he took us there. We were in our third year, where I studied geology as a subject. So we had a field trip. Our University Malaya bus took us down. That trip was the most enjoyable one that I ever had with my classmates. We had a lot of fun too on the way. We sing a lot of songs, college songs. Then we really enjoyed. He took us to to the place where the dam is supposed to be in the future, and we were at the bottom there. He said, you want to take photo or whatever for remembrance or what, you better do it now. We are later on when they impound the dam, means fill it up with water, a lot of this will be destroyed. And the environmental impact study, the mitigation is to help protect the ecology, means remove all the animals, rodents or whatever, it's everything, relocate them. They try their best, but not easy. Then a lot of the vegetation, if they can help to clear and remove, they will do it. Otherwise, they will all rot down there when they impound. So it creates massive destruction to environment and nature. But it's the cheapest source of energy from water, hydro. So its economic benefit, of course, is there. You cannot deny. That's why Bakun Dam, when we were about to start, there was a lot of protest, noise, and honest NGO. But finally, we did complete Bakun Dam. And because of Bakun Dam, East Malaysia has a lot of power. They can have their style industry that need a lot of power, cheap hydro power, to be efficient, to be competitive. And I think some of those industries that benefited from it are the aluminium industry, brass metal and a few. Yes, they consume a lot of electricity. And that one, hydro, Bakun, is the cheapest. Then their capacity is so big, they were way ahead of the need for that type of consumption. So that's why they are willing to talk to these industry people to initially help out with the consumption and develop the feasibility of the project and all those things. Then while Sarawak developed, Sabah developed, there will be more than enough electricity to go around. So these are the things that you can develop understanding. Because I can share with you all this is because I'm a civil engineer and I'm involved in the design of all these things too. Water supply, even dam and all these things. So engineering is in fact a very interesting career topic. But nowadays it's not so lucrative, they say. So they like to study other fields. Now I think the popular one are medicine, IT and all those things. They used to in the early days during my time. He said you want to be successful, you either study to become an engineer, that's your first choice, or a doctor. Then the third one is accountant, of course. Then only lawyers and all those things. But nowadays it's different. Especially a lot of engineers, my classmates especially, you go and ask them, most of them will tell you, don't become an engineer. I got one classmate who became quite successful, and he used to discuss with us, it could be a joke. He said, what for, study so hard, become engineer? We are the cream, we top the school and all those things. When we go to the uni, we are the cream of the nation. But when we came out and work, we realize we don't control the money. We have very good technical understanding and skill. We manage project and do all the things. But the one that control the money is the accountant, understand? The financial controller, the board of director, the managing director and all those things. So end of the day, we are still under their, you call one, we work under them. Then there was a joke. There was one year, I remember, one of our classmates, Normally for Chinese, it's our tradition, when we go for Chinese New Year, we give ang bao. We will give it to their children and wish them can study well and become successful in life. They say, hello, gao ta che. And other things. Then my this classmate sarcastically, not really sarcastically, jokingly tell me, he said, Gao Tai Chai Wu Yong, he said, good at study, no use. We are the cream of the nation. Nang Wu Gao Tai Chai, but be Yao Tan Lui, he said, don't know how to make money. So there are some truth in what he said. So he said, you should wish them, Gao Tan Lui, I mean, know how to make money. Then when I reflect on it, maybe there's some truth. But for me, it's different. If you are good in your study, you will have better career, better life. In fact, education is very important to me. Without education, a lot of things you cannot understand, you cannot do. But of course, I do not deny the fact that a lot of uneducated people became very successful with good ideology and good spiritual character because they learn it differently. It's all coming from the past, depend on your past. So a lot of this thing is debatable, but I leave it to each of you. Own understanding to make that correct, appropriate choice. For me, I came out through this way. Well, my nature is suited for this way. That's why when I came, my nature is already there to guide my life. It's like this life, I don't have to do anything. I just accord and flow. Everything is like already set and planned to the nature's perfection, understanding. It has paved the causes and conditions for things to unfold. So when you understand all this, you become different. But life is really interesting. For me, I find this very interesting because I realize as an individual, especially the way I grew up, my career and as an engineer, I can understand many, many things. And later on, when the spiritual understanding came, my understanding became very different. And I really love it, have that joy, because you can really share all this understanding. And you can be a great blessing to all of humanity, the world, the environment, and everything. Okay, we better continue. Where were we? Oh, I finished all this one. Although technology is advancing, industry is flourishing, and daily life is becoming more and more convenient. At the same time, human greed, this is what I was explaining. Human greed is constantly increasing, and people are ignoring the limited availability of natural resources such as water, oil, and mineral. The earth can no longer bear this endless plunder and destruction at the hand of humankind. At the rate humanity is actually depleting all the resources of nature. So we need to really have a balance. But solar energy is a very good field, green energy. Well, this one is very long time before it deplete, before our sun collapse and become supernova. Become a dead star. That one's still a long way to go. All material things in the world have their limits. Even the highest peak on earth has a height. that can be measured. And the deepest ocean likewise has a measurable depth. However, the human mind is intangible, and the good and evil thoughts that arise in it cannot be measured. Still, all calamities in the world began with a single thought. One ignorant thought leads to 10,000 evils, causing devastation in the environment and disaster around the world. This is very true. Sometimes because of one person, he came up with the idea, leads to war, leads to disaster, leads to misunderstanding, conflict, and other things. And sometimes because of one politician or leader, they decide to destroy environment. They come up with that type of project. And most of them refuse to do the mitigation measure because it involves money, cost, and other things. So they don't bother about environmental impact. They can force people to really do the work in the project. And so all this is what is happening to the world. So when we do things without understanding, and there is no balance between understanding nature's law and consciousness, then we get ourselves into trouble. Every time we violate nature's law, we give rise to negative consciousness or content of consciousness. We create evil, we become heedless, and we destroy nature. When we destroy nature, the outcome, the friction, is nature retaliate and hit back. That's why you don't take care of nature. You destroy nature. Nature destroy mankind, humanity. I have explained before, last time, it's just like the analogy. Like our planet is a living organism, let's say. So for us human beings, when we have problem somewhere, tumor or one, what do? We operate on it and take it out. So our planet is the same. When certain area has very negative consciousness, so it's like gangrene, it's like tumor, it's like disease happening there. So how did our planet do the operation to take it off? They don't have doctors to do it because it's a planet. So they invoke the power of nature's law. That's why earthquake, tsunami, or volcanic eruption. They have to happen to destroy all this negative consciousness. That sometimes it comes in the form of war, nature's disaster, calamity. Then when they clean up and wipe out the majority of the negative consciousness, then a lot of these violent people, deluded, heedless people die. And then the consciousness become purified. That's why we have to go through this cycle. Even the civilization cycle is the same. The way our civilization rise and fall is because after civilization develop and they don't know the limits of their wrong action, they overdo it, then the earth get into unnecessary disaster. Sometimes it's war, nuclear war or whatever war. Then it leads to a lot of things happening, and sometimes it's nature. Like the volcanic eruption and all things. Then this dust, like last time it happened in Ireland, I think, England, UK there, where the plane also cannot fly. All the smoke, the dust all came out. Then it's like you can't see at all. So when the volcanic eruption and all this thing become very severe, when the planet is under stress, all this dust will actually one day cover most of our planet. Until when the sun's ray, UV light, cannot penetrate. So what happened? We will go through ice age. Then it freezes because at night, without the sunlight gives us a lot of heat. Then it becomes the North Pole and the South Pole. So we will have very cold temperature, and all this environment will like enter the ice age. Then it will destroy a lot of life forms. Then it takes 10,000 or 15,000 years of nature's process to slowly melt it down. And then life forms start again, civilization start again. That's why you look at our civilization, the recorded time is only about 5,000 plus years of history. Where civilization start, we were very primitive. We like start over again. The Yellow River, the Euphrates, Mesopotamia civilization, the Indus civilization. So all these civilizations start from major waterway, and these are nature's way of the formation and recovery phase. Then we evolve again. That's why it was mentioned, I think scientists have certain basis that the civilization before us was the Sumerian, was it Sumerian or the Atlantis civilization, I forgot. There were at least two civilizations before us. Well, our planet is almost 8 billion years old. How can we have such short civilization of 5,000 more years? There must be civilization before us. That's why you look at the pyramid and many of the structure that our modern society also cannot understand how they come about. Then because of the way the topography of the planet is being shifted, because we have a planet that is 3/4 of the surface covered with water. Do you know? Only about 1/4 of the planet's surface is land. 3/4 is ocean water. Just imagine. Then it was through geology, they study geology, then they know all this earthquake folding of the whatever they call it, the shifting of the active tectonic plate. That one can cause tsunami, this thing. And it seems previously all this ocean, most of them were high land mass. Then because of this shift, tectonic movement, the earth become different again. That's why the civilization has to start again. So all this is some understanding for humanity to develop the understanding. So our planet is being forced to move into such critical situation again that it will happen. It will lead to self-destruction. That's why humanity has to be very careful. Then we have to understand more and more of nature's law. We have to understand more and more of morality. Means we have to live our life in accordance with nature's law. We should not violate them. Otherwise, it will create chaos, disaster, and a lot of very severe type of environmental destruction. That leads to severe repercussion from nature. So this is some understanding that you may develop. But if you are not a science student, maybe not so easy for you to comprehend. The reason why I like engineering is because engineering is such a beautiful field. At that time, before IT, engineering was supposed to be the most difficult technical subject. So when I studied engineering, I realized I not only study engineering, I study science, and I also study management. I also study law. I need all these things. So our subject is very diverse, and I know a lot of things. As a science student, I'm exposed to science subject, biology, and all those things. So these are the mix that actually mold you and give you the understanding. Of course, the present civilization I used to share with my daughter and my son, they are in the IT line, IT field. And this IT line is like engineering during our time, my time. Oh, it's a very difficult thing. You don't know engineering, you don't know a lot of things. You are like behind time, obsolete. A lot of things that the world is it what it is, you cannot understand. So now is the IT revolution. AI and all those things. You don't know IT, is like even you are a university graduate, they say you are illiterate. You don't even know how to operate your phone. You don't even know how to set up the QR code and all those things. And e-payment and all those things, e-wallet and all those things. So we need to actually keep abreast with development and develop the understanding. So civilization will evolve, our planet will evolve, mankind will evolve, human being, humanity will evolve. So unless there is spiritual understanding to complement, to bring about the balance, otherwise technological development, if it's too fast, at the expense of our planet, then there is a distortion. That's why I realized thought-based development, which involve materialistic progress, all the technological, science and technology, these are all thought-based evolution and progress. So the emphasis on thought has been tremendously enhanced by our education system, whereas the understanding, not to say emphasis, but understanding of consciousness is very limited, especially awareness, that awareness nature, that other aspect of mind, the silent mind, the true mind, our true nature, that is the missing link that the scientists cannot understand. Unless you go into the spiritual field, you meditate, you cannot penetrate that. So you must balance awareness base is the wisdom base. That is the one that develops the understanding to protect the technical understanding. So for you to go far, you must have the balance, spiritual. So our human race has gone too fast into the scientific advancement, thought-based education, whereas the true understanding of the spiritual path, awareness base, that one is lacking, grossly lacking. Hopefully we will catch up. That's why I say now the present world that has the understanding of awareness base is 0.00000, how many zero, then only 1%. Very few, very, very few. It doesn't mean all the religious, spiritual people have that understanding. No, it's only a very handful who can actually meditate to understand what that spiritual nature is, what that true mind is. So these are the deeper aspects of spiritual understanding that few people can understand. Then as Kaya Mita, maybe you are quite blessed and quite lucky to have the condition to understand all this. Okay, we better go back to the picture, not sharing. Otherwise, we cannot finish this chapter. So I will read through this part again. However, the human mind is intangible, and the good and evil thoughts that arise cannot be measured. Still, all calamity in the world begins with a single thought. One ignorant thought leads to 10,000 evil. Very true. I have explained this, causing devastation to the environment and disaster around the world. Since this disaster originates with man or humanity, to mitigate them, we must start with ourselves. At a time when earth-shattering disasters are continuously occurring, we ourselves must have world-changing realization. That's why you need wisdom. In the face of one disaster after another, 30 members around the world are always at the forefront in providing assistance to those affected. So this is Tzu-chi's way. They work together with love and compassion and wisdom, contributing both money and effort to carry out disaster relief. This is their forte. This one has helped the world. But it doesn't rule out the problem. That's the only thing. This is compassion in action. Regardless of the distance, they will travel to any disaster area they can reach and do all they can to help those in suffering. Thus, they bear witness to the truth, goodness, and beauty in this era. The most beautiful thing in the world is selfless love. How do we express this love? We must let loving kindness guide the cultivation of compassion, and let compassion inspire our wisdom. When our wisdom manifests, we will realize that all humanity are inherently equal. This is at the spiritual level. Loving kindness means wishing peace for everyone, everything in the world. Once we realize all beings in the world are interconnected, we must therefore learn to coexist with the planet and nurture the universal compassion of feeling for each other, suffering as our own. A compassionate heart inspires discerning wisdom, which is the ability to distinguish between right and wrong. Then it gives rise to impartial wisdom. This is very true, which is the realization that all things in this world are actually equal. Compassion and wisdom embodied all the essential principles of the world. It is only after understanding this principle of love, compassion, and wisdom that we can truly awaken and live a life replete with both blessings and wisdom. Thus, the Buddha said, all beings are equal. Their essence and manifestation have one nature. The nature of all things is emptiness and still, but all things follow karma in their formation. This is a very complete description. In the perfect one suchness, the absolute and relative truth are one. That's why there is no duality. Every person possesses the same pure intrinsic nature as the Buddha. Once we comprehend life's truth and cultivate wisdom, we will naturally act according to true principle and lead fulfilling life. This is most beautiful. Oh, still so much to go. Wait, let's check how many more things. We are almost 10 o'clock already. Oh, finishing. Two plus pages. Never mind, I see how it goes. In the world we live in, A red warning light is flashing. Whether from the greenhouse effect or abnormal weather, disasters are occurring more frequently. If we wish for a peaceful world, we have to begin by bringing purity to people's heart and extending the Buddha's teaching to every corner of the world. This is very true, but very difficult to do, very difficult to materialize. We must start with ourselves by mindfully taking in the Buddha's teaching, and then we must put the teaching into action. This is very true. If every one of us, that's why the individual must change, can contribute a little love and goodness to the world, boundless love and goodness will naturally accumulate, bringing about harmony everywhere. Think about it. Wouldn't this be like a layer of protection, shielding the earth from damage or destruction? The Buddha's teaching exists fundamentally in the human realm and can be seen in all things in the world. It is because of the suffering in life that the Buddha teaches us the truth of suffering. The four number two, hoping that we can thoroughly comprehend worldly Dhamma. In total, the Buddha taught for 49 years. This year, 2011, Shichi is 45 years old. In his early days, Shichi began with the mission of charity. As the Buddhist Shichi Merit Association was established, then the mission of medicine, education, and humanistic culture gradually developed. By maintaining a pure mind and pure thought and upholding precepts and discipline, Shichi member and volunteers practice according to the Bodhisattva spirit expressing in the Sutra of Infinite Meaning. That's why this sutra is very powerful. Huh? This sutra is for Bodhisattva. With mind tranquil and clear, this is the quote from the sutra. I like this verse, you listen. With mind tranquil and clear, vows as vast as the universe, they remain unwavering for countless kappa. This is what the true Bodhisattva is. For our inner cultivation, we nurture sincerity. See, again, sincerity, integrity, faith, and steadfastness, perseverance. That's why it's the same as what I told you. Huh? Faith, sincerity, and perseverance. Sincerity is also part of integrity, honesty. Huh? As we work with others, we are grateful, respectful, and loving. Now this one, if you can cultivate this virtue, is very good. When you interact with people, not only work with people, when you communicate and interact with people, you must be gentle or grateful, respectful, and loving, and give of ourselves without seeking anything in return. This is a spiritual practice of the Jingshi Dhamma lineage, part of Shichi. The diligent path of the Jingshi Dhamma lineage is based on the teaching of the Infinite Meaning, Sutra of Infinite Meaning. In our spiritual cultivation, we put into practice the true essence of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning. That's why this Sutra of Infinite Meaning, or innumerable meaning, is very useful, very powerful. Then how do we advance the Shichi school of Buddhism? We need to have proper decorum and understand correct principle. Etiquette is a principle. The principles are a path. This is the Bodhisattva path, which aims to guide people to understand correct principle. Practice or cultivate kindness, compassion, joy, and equanimity, the four Brahma Vihara. Vows to serve as a guiding light for others and work to pave a path for all with selfless great love. All of this help to purify people's body and mind and enable everyone to remain unaffected by the defilements of the world, so they will be able to walk the proper path. Then every step of the way, they will be walking on a wondrous lotus flower. This is just like what is said in the sutta. Then immediately after his birth, the Buddha took 7 steps, and a lotus flower bloomed out of each step. This is not the appearance of a miracle, but rather a metaphor for the Buddha's mission on earth to guide all living beings to awaken their wisdom and walk upon the Bodhi path. As we cultivate on the path in this world of the 5 Tibidhi, we must devote ourselves to the world with a pure heart. And through our encounters with various people and matters, we must transform ourselves and others, thus unlocking our wisdom. This is truly, as the Sutra of Infinite Meaning say, infinite Dhamma doors readily appear in front of them. They attain great wisdom and completely understand all Dhamma. So as you cultivate, you will realize this. This is why the Tzu-chi school of Buddhism path through the world come from the Lotus Sutra. Since we have been fortunate enough to receive the Buddha's teaching and to join Tzu-chi, an organization of Bodhisattva in this world, we should learn the Bodhisattva spirit of viewing all beings with compassion and extending help to all those in suffering. We need to go to wherever people are suffering, realize the truth through understanding suffering, and recognize our blessing through witnessing the hardship of others. Then we will continue to create more blessing for the world. This is beautiful. So this completes the chapter. Very good. So we end here. We stop here, page 34. So next session, page 35. Okay, we can now open up for second session, just nice, 10:07. Yeah. You can just come in and report your meditation or ask whatever question or share whatever you want to share.
Hello.
Yeah, hello, Tammy. Yeah.
Good evening, Valentine and Okami.
Good evening, yeah. You have been nominated by Adeline. Yeah.
Okay. Meeting. Yeah, I just wanted to report my bowing.
Oh, good. So do.
Yeah, I think I only miss like I think one day, and then mostly every day I got do bowing for 15 minutes.
Oh, that's very good. So do. So how is the thing going?
There's a bit progress. So initially it's like a lot of thoughts, and actually now I feel like very not useful thoughts, but just like the thoughts telling me like I should do what I should not do, and then blaming myself or something like that, like unuseful
thoughts. So what do you do when you are aware of this thing happening? What do you do?
Initially I was like listening to the thoughts and then feel bad, you know.
Oh, yes. You have been like
follow the affected. Thought.
No, you follow the thought. You are affected by it because it has the power to condition you to get yourself entangled with it. Then you give meaning. That's how you realize that this type of thought is not beneficial. So what do you do after that?
After that, I don't want to think too much.
Yeah, so you remember my instruction or not? Don't try to know. Do until when the sati come, you will know. Honestly, I just bow, body and mind as one, bow. Forget about the thought. Whatever Hitler's thinking arise, let it arise. Do not suppress, do not control, do not try to do anything. Just maintain mindfulness, like you relax, maintain awareness during the formal meditation. But now is in the active posture of bowing, means body and mind move as one. Finish. Homage to the blessed one, the fully enlightened one. Then bow. Okay. Again, up mindfully. Then recite, bow again. until later on, as you recite, you can bow simultaneously. Then later on, without the recitation, you can also do it. Then that bowing become very natural. Then you become like synchronized with it, body and mind. Then suddenly you realize, hey, how come now no thought, nothing? Just the awareness. The awareness and the kaya move as one. Awareness and kaya move. And after that, when you move your hand, you realize that awareness is vivid. Then everything you do, blinking, stretching, turning, or whatever, the awareness is there. You have to do until the mind enters the deep. And then you can see all those things. So you just bow, continuously bow. Don't try to know.
Yeah. So yeah. When I bow, then lately it becomes like not so much thoughts, you know. It just
very good.
I just remind myself, okay, bow, yeah. Bow. Yeah. Don't yeah. Like if you get thoughts, then I just like aware, then relax a bit, then bow again. Okay.
Next like, time, no need to be aware. Just let it be. Do you know before your awareness come in, it's your thought telling you, you are not aware. But when your sati come, your form and mind will know what that sati is, because at that moment when it happened, the awareness and the bodily activity move as one, no thought. And you know what that thing is. Then during that time, that awareness is the one that is really aware of all the arising of thought and movement. That is the real one. Before that one, forget about it, because that one is another thought trying to say that I'm aware. You are not aware. It's the thought that recall or recollect. Then that one thing that is aware is not aware. That one is after the thought passed by already, only you recall, understand? No? Or through your thinking, you become conscious. But awareness means at the moment that thought arise, that emotion arise, that reaction arise, that awareness is vivid. That is the real one. That one you can only do it when the sati stabilize, when your mind has entered sati. So forget about even noting or aware. Forget about it. Just do. Do until the sati come. Then when the sati come, that sati will observe by itself, will understand by itself. It's totally different, not involving any thought anymore. Then that movement is very beautiful. You are like very natural. Without any thought at all, the movement, the kaya, you have to do it. The explanation may not give you the understanding, because you will use your thought to understand. Very difficult. But you just do until it comes. Then you will understand what I mean and what I say. So the bowing, the best is when you bow, don't try to know, don't do anything, just body and mind as one. Initially, it's like not synchronized. The thought arise, lun chun. Never mind, just do. Do until you become like settle down. Like you become very skillful, like you can just do it automatically. Yeah. And then, if you persevere with the faith, it will come. That's why a few Kayamita has done it. Miss Lee is one of them. You just bow. And how long already have you been doing, Tammy? 1 week?
More than 1 week, I think.
Oh, that's good.
How long? 1 month.
Oh, okay. That's very good. Once a day or twice a day or three times a day?
Once a day,
not enough. You should at least break it up into twice a day when you wake up or before you sleep. So you must do it at least twice a day. Sometimes I do it three times a day, because whenever I have free time, I will do it. But in the office, maybe you all find it not so easy or not so conducive. Because unless you have a room to yourself, I was blessed because every time the place I work, I have my own room. Especially later on when I have some senior position, I always have room and I have private car park also. Then I have many staff. Then during lunchtime or what, sometimes I will lock the door and I just meditate. Then later on when I do the bowing, I do it in the office also. It's like whenever you are free, instead of doing the normal swing hands, san yao er or what, you aggregate the bowing inside. Then when you swing hand also, you can do it mindfully. You can combine it. Then when you do your san yao er, you can also do it mindfully. Then it starts to integrate into your daily life, daily mindfulness. That's how the bowing can allow your mind to enter sati and carry that mindfulness into the daily life. That's how it happens forever. So that doing has to be continuous. And I got it stabilized within 2 weeks now. But that 2 weeks, I really go all out on. I determined to be aware throughout the day. Bowing, I already did during the Xianhua's refuge. I finished the 10,000 bow in less than 2 months. Then after that, I remember that time I break it into 3 times a day, about 10 minutes each time. Sometimes it's about 15 minutes, but most of the time 10 minutes is enough. Because I did a very simple calculation. I put my watch or alarm clock at the side. Then I let the 60-second thing move. So I will read the clock when the alarm sound. Means after 3 minutes, I see how many bow did I bow. So that time I calculate how many bow. Then I realize within a minute, you can do quite a bit of bow. I remember is within a minute is more than 10 bow. I think about 10. Then 10 minutes is about 100 or 100 plus. It depends. Yeah, mine is a simple one, very fast. Then one day I remember I do about 300 to 500 bow, I remember. 300 to 500 bow. So if it's 500, 10 days is 5,000. 5,000. Oh, then 1 month finished. So fast. 10,000. Yeah, but I think I took more than that, which means about 300. Oh, 300, I think about 300. 300 or so. Yeah, 300. 300 per day is about 9,000 per month. So 1 month plus. So you should give it a try. Then integrate with the daily mindfulness. After that, determine to be aware. Whatever you do, aware. Standing aware, walking aware. When you wash things, answer nature's call. When you wake up, bending, standing, stretching, turning, whatever. Even when you take your bath, answering nature's call, whatever. Be mindful how you actually do all the things. Then when you hold on to the tower, how you move, how you extend your hand to open the door, not push the door. Enter the bathroom, then how you turn, how you move, and how you shut the door. Everything with awareness, mindful. Then how you, your activity. So when you can be with your activity, movement, then you realize you don't think. You are aware of all the movement, all the activity. Then you realize you hardly think because you have stabilized it. Then that one becomes natural, very natural. Then I realized after that, the sati stabilized. Then the bowing also become and the body and my mind was one. Suddenly I realized, this is what sati is all about. Not what people say, not all the noting. I realized this is the one that can see. This one can observe. This one very fast. This one, because it's still silent. Any movement, it will be there, the way. That's a specific phenomenal awareness. It's move with the phenomena as one. Even the moving car, how fast was it? No problem. The fan, everything. That's why it's just the way, the way, the way. That's how the awareness get developed. Then I remember at that time, I returned to the heart. The way from inside out. So that one helped me until my heart there opened up. Then the heart there is like away by itself. Away by itself. So I no need to do anything. And throughout the day, the heart there, it become away, away, away. I always away from there. That's how it build up all the training. So continue to develop the bowing, then synchronize with your daily life, and you will progress. You should progress and do well.
Yeah. I also noticed that but once I found that I have a bit of panic attack, you know, then somehow the body will understand that to relax, and then to just aware. It means like just the panic attack is like I feel like I am having coughing, you know, and then I'm like, don't know what happens, like quite hard to go to sleep, but somehow I just relax, then just aware bit by bit, then it suddenly just calm down, and I feel like it's a bit different now. Then other than bowing, I also ask the great beings protection, blessing,
and guidance.
And then yesterday when I was, because I don't know why, what happens, like after bowing, then lately I also want to go for sitting for
you can do that, sitting, yes, you can do that, no more.
In the morning, I will do some sitting. Yeah. Then while I was sitting, and then plus that day, Brother Teo, you sent out the video, you know,
the Indonesian language, that one very good. That one, they describe it very well. Everything you do, that is daily mindfulness. She even used the English word mindfulness, but the Indonesian language is very good. Actually, Indonesian people, they can develop the Dhamma very well. I realize using their Malay language, because I understand Malay, so I realize their words are very simple, but they describe it very well. The Indonesian language got a style which suits the Dhamma cultivation. Before I forget, Tammy, just now when you were talking about you feel like your heart there very hard, like difficult to breathe or whatever, then you remember to relax, isn't it? Then you try to relax and aware, you say that one is still a lot of thought holding on to the thing. Just the thought want to relax. Then you try to be aware. All this is still thought. What you must do is next time, when you recall to your understanding that you need to relax, then just relax. You know what is relax or not? Fang song. You know Mandarin. Fang song means completely relax. Feel like totally no resistance at all. Everything let it be. Let the natural way of your hand, everything like drop. Like you are a dead person. You give that a try. Then you will become very relaxed. Like don't try to do any breathing or whatever. Don't go and try. The thought there, it becomes not natural. Then you are not relaxed. Means like you're very tired. Just let go of everything. Just let your body like dead. Let it be natural. No resistance at all. You try that. Then you will know what relax is. Then you realize during that time you are like in deep sleep. When you are in deep sleep, your thought cannot control your body. That's why it becomes like very natural. Then a lot of people snore and all those things. Because when you are in deep sleep, your body is like no resistance. Then when there is no resistance, your nature's energy, which is the life force energy, they will start to do the work. They will start to heal you. They will start to move to all the organs to like revitalize them. So this is how you recuperate after you have a good sleep and a good rest. So relax means don't do anything. My daughter can help you. She wants to share her experience about this.
I don't know if this will help. Because relax, when I thought about it, one of the things I realized there was a difference in the types of relax between wanting to relax and really relaxing was the term relinquishing control. Relinquishing control of even posture, relinquishing control of where
Sadhu,
we are,
very
wanting
good.
To wake up, what to do next, relinquishing
Sadhu.
Control over all of that.
Yeah.
Really, the world falls away.
Yeah.
Then there's really relaxed. Fire, whatever, so
Not
your problem. Really like a dead call.
Silent.
Relinquish
silent.
Control over your body. And
very good. That is the right way.
Mind.
Yes, that is the right way. Thank you. Very good. So, Tammy, hopefully you can understand, listen to the sharing again. Then you will be able to relax. And when you can relax, next time you report to me very different. In the early days, I remember when I did it, it was so beautiful. That's why when I want to sleep or when I just relax, then I fall into the sleep very fast. Then later on, I want to maintain awareness, I can. I want to stay awake. Aware, mindful, it can. That's why the mind listen to you. You develop the ability to relax, to be aware, and to be natural. Natural means not allowing the thought to arise or to surface, not trying to control, or trying to relax. The trying to relax is by the thought, is still an action. Like my daughter say, you still haven't relinquished. Yeah, you try to control your body to relax. That is not relinquishing that thought that want to do those things. So the thought that want to do those things is actually resisting, holding back, and you cannot relax. You have that thought that want to relax is like you say, don't think. That thought that say don't think will make you think more. And you become more frustrated because you cannot stop the thinking. The way to stop it is an understanding. When I am heedless, when the five mental hindrances are there, it will hinder me from entering the meditative state. That's why this sankhara will arise. Heedless thinking will arise. Restlessness will arise. So one idea is the spiritual faculty. Spiritual faculty means what? I need to have faith. I need to have virya. I need to have sati. Sati means don't do anything. Silent. The moment you are silent without thought, you are in sati. Relax is like that. Don't do anything. Silent. Completely. Fang song. Or like my daughter say, relinquish control. Like the deep body. Let it fall into its natural state. When you let it fall into its natural state, very interesting one. You go and try out. The awareness together with that thing. Just aware. The body is like a baby, you know, very soft. And like cotton like that. That's why my daughter bought that turtle. I feel it. I can feel that it's relaxed. That's why she lie on it. Soft toy. She really liked that thing. The moment she saw it in the shop, she wanted to buy it. Then now she rests on it. Very nice. Very soothing one. Very soft and that fur very nice. So you try it. Your My doctor will continue to share. It will help you.
One more thing about thought. To relinquish control over the mind and our thoughts are sometimes a bit hard because we cannot accept that we have those thoughts in the first place. So what helped me understand was because my dad always say when something arises, there are causes and conditions behind. So it's the same thing with thoughts. How our thoughts come to be is normally throughout the way we live our life, the days, every little thing we say, do, and think that is in conflict with our nature gets built up as a mental blue-black. I always call it a mental blue-black. And as long as the blue-black doesn't heal, it will trigger thoughts. That's why it might be thoughts where you disagree, cannot accept something happened to someone else, or you disagree with how you react to something, or you disagree with how you handle yourself, or you disagree with the state that you are in. It's like you could be a better person. Why are you not a better person? Sometimes it's a lack of understanding for yourself, so you can't truly love yourself. It's a lack of the understanding of the world, so you can't truly accept and love the world for what it is. So this lack of acceptance will accumulate a lot of mental blue blacks throughout the day. And the more blue blacks you have, if you see blue black on your body, right, everywhere you move, you know, you feel pain. Mental blue blacks are the same. It spurs up as thoughts. So the more blue blacks you accumulate throughout your life, so the more conflicting you live your life and you don't follow your nature and your intuition and your conscience, the more thoughts there will be. And no matter what it is, if you cannot, I don't want to have thoughts. It's like, I don't want to have blue black, but blue black already, one whole batch there. So you cannot say, I don't want. So unless you accept that, okay, this situation I'm in, this what I'm feeling now, is a result of how I have lived my life. Feel it. Understand it, accept it, and then continue the next moment, next life, next day, next. It's like one day at a time. Then you feel and understand yourself, and then you realize one day, today better than what did I do? Why did I do different? Then this will help build your awareness of daily action, speech, and thought, and what you are actually accumulating. Then you will be able to see the mental blue blacks. Then the thoughts will slowly reduce when the blue blacks reduce. That's how it worked for me.
So very good. Let us rejoice. Then just to add a bit so that you all can understand. Because the way she go through is good. She listen, she reflect, contemplate, then she try to do. Then like she said, every time she reason, analyze, the duality come out. Then it become blue-black. Understand? Because you cannot come to terms with the reality, like you say. Acceptance is wisdom. So you will come to realize every time you cannot accept the way things are, you want things your way, you develop conflict. You develop the duality, your mind still react. And this one will accumulate and become habits. Then she realized, as she understands, she starts to develop the understanding to accept the situation for what it is, accept people for what they are. And then they realize that wisdom help. Thing is just the way it is. There are causes and conditions behind. Causes and conditions already established. Things will unfold this way. So he is the way he is. They are the way they are. The world is the world. Then everything you realize become natural. The acceptance starts to free your mind. Then you realize you got less conflict, less blue-black, understand? Then you are more at peace. When you are more at peace, there is more joy. You can accord and you can flow and you can understand. Then you do not want to argue unless it serves a purpose to benefit a person or a situation. Otherwise, you won't do anything. I remember in the early day, I talked very little. Because no point. Real people cannot understand. Then even when there is condition, when I try to manifest something, if I can sense that that person is not able to understand or listen, then I will just cut short and just stop. It's okay. Thank you. Nice of you to have spare the time to listen to my rattling and all those things. Then they will just go, no problem. But if that person find it interesting, he has the karmic affinity or what, then he will listen. Then he will ask me questions. Then that time the interaction become meaningful. So all this, as you go through life, you will develop the understanding and you will learn. Let me clear now.
Yeah, the last part I want to say is after the I thought until the Indonesian sharing the video. Then the next morning I went for a sitting before I do my puja.
So
when I was sitting, then somehow the I recall what the lady said, and then also what you say. Then when thoughts arise, so then it's just breathing in, aware, breathing out, aware. And then go to the breathing about here, just relax the, and check the body, is it all relaxed, and then the thoughts just left, and then just left with the sound of the surrounding, the air, the breeze, morning breeze.
Very good. That is the tea.
Birds.
What you are experiencing is the tea, the chipping of the bird. Because when your sankhara quiet, there's a shift of consciousness, and what you describe is that the reality. That is the awareness. You start to become sensitive of the air movement, the vibration, the chipping of the bird. That is the real sati. Very good. Then just aware. Don't be drawn by it. Then there is joy. Then that type of experience will actually change you. Then you know what sati is. When the sankhara subside, only you can be aware. When you are still actively thinking, reasoning, analyzing, that is not sati. You can never have the experience of what you experience during that sitting. That's why when you bow, you sit very easy. We are bowing is to develop sati. When the spiritual faculty is there, the mental hindrance no more, sati take over. When your mind don't react with like and dislike, sati take over. That's how your meditation become different. Very easy to meditate. Very good. That Indonesian mindfulness description is good. The way she described it is very good. Breathing in aware. Breathing out aware. That is precisely anapanasati. So just aware. No need to do anything. Just awareness and the breath as one. Then that one, it will actually condition you to become very calm. When you are in sati, you experience calmness. Then after that is the pity, the joy. Then you become very quiet. Then the shift of consciousness arise. That's how you like you describe. Suddenly the thinking like gone. That is the shift of consciousness. Suddenly like your awareness surface. Without thought, your awareness surface. Or then you can be aware of all those that you describe. The air, you breathe, and all those movement, whatever vibration, the chipping of the bird, everything starts to fall into place. Sadhu, very good. So keep it up.
Somehow there's a little, I don't know if understanding or not. Is this like, you know, all this Swabhadatya you have saying that every action you need to aware. Understanding just how to say just come, and then it's just like this one you also need to aware, this one you also need to aware, like everything. Even I'm working, or I'm sometimes I just mindlessly walk to the kitchen, you know.
Because you are not aware, you are lost in thought. So when you are aware, you cannot think. Understand or miss your hand, see that movement. The awareness is with you. Then your bodily action, your awareness is with this. That's why you can't think. But when you are not with this, you are lost in thought. You are thinking. And most people think a lot. Heedless. They are never with the moment. That is beautiful.
I just understand,
Suddenly you understand. Yes. Every action, every movement in the present moment means you are present. You are at that moment with that activity. Like when you are making coffee, when your hand go and take the spoon, then you put it into the glass, then your hand go and open the Nescafe or Milo or coffee can or whatever. That movement, aware, understand? Then how you put down the cover, then how you take that spoon, then how you scoop it out, aware. Every movement, every action, aware. Don't underestimate this exercise. This is the beginning of daily mindfulness. And when you can do that, you realize your thought completely slow down until hardly any thought. Because it is the heedful way of living. When you are heedful, means you are mindful of everything you do. That's why you become heedful. You understand? That is how you transform. Very good. Start to understand that. That's why a lot of people, they are like you, Tammy, need many rounds of explanation, understanding until you have faith and go and do. Then only you start to have a glimpse of what I mean. Then when you do it correctly, you have a lot of joy. And this time you really got it. Because, you continue, continue.
And then it's not like what like Po Ching used to say, or the other time we talked about it, you used to say, no. If you put a little bit more effort, then it becomes thought already. Even
So you have picked up all those things. Oh, sadhu to you. You will progress from now onward. You will progress. I rejoice. My nature rejoice. You will become different after this. Sadhu. Anything else?
Just want to thank. I mean, like, all the share, I think Manbian also, she...
Yeah, the sharing help,
Questions, you know, like, what is the thought doing meditation? I think something, not really as per her words, but it's like the difference between, like, thought meditation and also actual thought-based one, not thought-based meditation and the actual...
Awareness-based meditation.
Then she also asked a few things which somehow... I get it a bit, but
yeah.
And then also
also
share, and Brother Teo, Suyi, and everyone.
Even Elsie, all this help, Yun Chan, everybody chip in. That's how you learn. Kayanamita as a group, you learn, and it helps to motivate each other. Well, when you see people progress, you have joy. Then you also develop the faith and determine. And as you do now, people can see you progress. That's why Tammy, this is a very good sharing tonight. Salute to you. Very good.
Not only this, I also found my own bad character, you know, like arrogance, proud, and then
very good.
Jealousy.
Yeah, that is the beginning of sati. When you can be aware of your own shortcoming, that is mindfulness, seeing yourself. That's like understanding yourself, you will understand others. Because most people who are heedless, they don't even know that they have this selfishness in them, this jealousy in them. At least now you start to see. Then in fact, a lot of heedless living beings, the evil roots of the selfishness, the envy, the jealousy, all inside there, and they can't see. It's only a cultivator, a Dhamma practitioner, after they start to see, then they realize, this is what the Buddha meant by evil root, make me evil. Why must I be jealous? Why must I get angry? It's because I cannot accept the reality. I had to learn to accept things as they are. They are just the way they are. So this is initial wisdom. Yoniso manasikara means it is the initial wisdom that will prompt you so that you will not react the old way. So this is straightening your view. If I can accept them for what they are, then I am at peace. Means you got no more problem with them. We're deluded people do deluded thing. Angry people do angry thing. Selfish people do selfish thing. So when you see your own defilement, you also know the evil roots are there, you have become evil. So you should straighten that understanding, that view, by changing yourself. How can I root out envy, jealousy, anger? This true wisdom, right understanding. I must learn to accept the world as the world, people as the way they are. I have to learn to see things as they are. I have to be at peace with all things, all situations. Like the Buddha said, when condition is like that, things will be like that. It cannot be otherwise. So all this need time to stabilize. Then as you contemplate and reflect, you realize you have more joy, more happiness. Then you can be at peace. Then whether people complain or what, you will understand. You will just smile. Yeah, the world is the world. Just like that summary of the sutra, is it? Finally, life is not what you think. They arise and they pass away, no reality. Everything is dependent, originating, condition arising. Impermanent, no reality, not a permanent, unchanging. So all this contemplation and reflection was set in, and it will transform you and make you different. Very good. Sadhu. Okay, so we all rejoice, eh? Then we end. We are getting late already. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Thank you so much, Tammy, for the good sharing. Eh?